Hi, everybody. This is the Ramble Redhead Show, and we'd like to welcome you to today's show. Today, we're doing another interview with a member of the Call to Duty Tour, and his name is Tim, and he has a very interesting life that he has led so far, and he's been in the military as well as he's part of the Call to Duty Tour, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about that, as well as what happened to him and his military career. So what I'd like to do is welcome Tim to the program. Hey, Tim.
Hey.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well.
Okay, great. And as I just told our listeners that you are part of the Call to Duty Tour, and what I was wondering if you could, just give a brief synopsis of the program and what it is.
Well, the Call to Duty Tour was a group of veterans who got together through strange circumstances, but decided that we wanted for our voices to be heard to the mainstream American public. And so we decided we would go around to several different colleges and universities over the course of this spring, which we have already kicked off at Harvard a couple of weeks ago, and more or less debate and discuss Don't Ask, Don't Tell and its effect upon gay and lesbian service members.
Okay, great. And, I was just wondering, you mentioned before the interview started that unfortunately you weren't able to be part of the Harvard, kickoff, but what I was just wondering, you probably were able to talk with the other members that had been there. I was just wondering, what was the response?
The Harvard event, the kickoff was awesome. We had Congressman Meehan from Massachusetts there as a speaker, as well as the rest of the members of the tour. And the auditorium was packed, a little more than 100 people, as well as an overflow room with 75 people in it. And at the end, we received something that is very rare for speakers at Harvard, and that is we received a standing ovation from the audience.
Wow, that's great. And one of the things that you also mentioned that previously, that you said that on their website for Harvard Law, that they actually have a video of the actual presentation. Is that right?
They do.
Okay, and just so our listeners will know that I'm going to be getting a link from him, and I'll be posting that onto the site so that everybody, if they would like to, you can check that out as well, as I'm looking forward to doing that as well. So that'd be fantastic, because I really, wanted to hear what you guys had to say, and I think that's awesome. Okay, so what I'd like to do now is go ahead and get into the whole purpose of today's interview is to, talk about you and your life and your experiences growing up, as well as, getting in the military. So I was wondering, can you tell us, so where were you born then?
I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, where I'm currently living, but I moved about 2 years after I was born. I moved to North Mississippi, where I was raised until the time that I decided to join the military.
Okay. And you have two brothers, right?
I have two younger brothers.
Okay.
Both, one of them is 2 years younger than me, he's 21, and another is 18.
Okay, so, and you're 23 right now.
Correct.
Okay, great. How old were you when you realized that you were gay then?
I was probably about 15 or 16 when I realized I was gay. I knew that feelings were there prior to that, but never acted upon them until college anyway. But I realized early, about mid-teens.
Okay, now you said you had a kind of funny story that with you and your mom. You mind sharing that with us?
It's not a problem.
Okay.
When I was probably about 14, we were watching Baywatch, and my mother walked in the room and kind of made a face and asked why I was watching Baywatch, and it just off the top of my head for no reason, I don't know why, I answered, for the guys.
And what was her reaction?
It was a very odd, puzzled look, crossed with anger, and I quickly announced that that is what I would like to look like in a few years with enough working out and things of that nature.
Oh, okay. So that was a good recovery.
Appreciate it. Yeah, save me on that one.
Well, that's good. Your mom's probably going in the kitchen. But, So you really didn't act on, being with you didn't experiment or, that kind of thing, did you, when you were in high school?
No, high school, I was confined to chat rooms, message boards, things of that nature.
Right. And you said that you were a relatively small class, is that right, in high school?
my high school was very small. I was raised in a very rural area. Had only 54 in my graduating class.
Wow. So what was the population in the city that you were in? Do you have any idea?
I don't know what the population was, but the main highway, there were no stop signs, stop lights, and it was about 2 miles between city limit signs. So.
Oh, wow. So it definitely was a small place. Huh?
Very small.
Okay. So that obviously played a, you know, an effect in your life as well, as far as being, you know, gay and having... Did you know anybody at the time that was gay?
Not personally, no. That wasn't something that was even thought about much in the area I was raised in, and nobody that was would come out at all. Now, I have found out since moving back to Memphis that someone that lived two houses down from me and that I played with as a young kid is actually gay and living in Memphis, too, and has a boyfriend who's been dating him for a while.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So then, so obviously, well, there's another little twist to the story, is that at the same time that you were, you know, dealing with your feelings about being gay, but at the same time you also were dating a girl then, right?
Started dating her when I was in the 11th grade, and to me, that was the only natural thing to do. It was just feelings towards other men at that time that I hadn't fully come to be able to put a name or a set of feelings with.
Right.
Okay. Dating was just expected, and right. So it was one of the things that I did very rarely, but she was one that I did date.
Okay. And then how long did you go out with her then?
Well, I actually went out with her throughout my junior and senior year and right. through my first year of college, and we eventually married
okay.
when I was in the Marine Corps.
Okay. So how old were you when you went into the Marine Corps then?
I was 18 years old when I went into the Marine Corps and turned 19 while I was in boot camp.
Okay. And so you were still seeing her at the time, and you weren't married yet. You completed a year of school, and then you said, hey, I want to go into the military.
Yes.
And then I was just curious, you know, obviously, obviously, even though you were dating, you obviously did have feelings for the men, but what made you decide to want to join in the military?
A lot of my family members had served in different areas of the military. Only one, my uncle, had served in the Marines. But if I was going to do the military, I was going to go at it bar none, and I was going to be the best there was. And so I chose the Marine Corps. And I decided to do that because although I had college paid for and was flying through it, I needed to do something on my own and get hard life experience. And that definitely gave it to me.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. So what was, well, obviously, and prior to our interview starting, that you did mention that you were pretty much the jock. You did football and all kinds of other sports. So was basic training, you know, and all the physical aspects of it, was that a breeze for you, or was it a challenge?
The physical aspects of it were not hard at all. Boot camp was more the mind game of it. Was what affected me more, but pushed through and made it out right on time.
Okay, great. And so then after you completed, you know, your basic training, you went to like your tech schooling or whatever. So where was that located?
My tech schooling, or my MOS schooling as we call it, was located in Camp Johnson, North Carolina.
Right.
And my boot camp was, I was a Hollywood Marine, so my boot camp was in San Diego and Camp Pendleton, California.
Okay, now, I'm afraid we might be guilty of what we did before, but we're going to backtrack. So you were, when you were, prior to going in, you also did like a year of college, you said, but then you, but you were kind of seeing somebody at that time too, right?
Yes, I had actually acted out on my feelings while I was in college, and there was a guy that I had met locally, and we began sort of this more or less hookup type of relationship, and this was during the time that I was in the DEP program preparing to go into the military.
Okay. And how long were you with him?
We saw each other off and on sporadically through my freshman year of college.
Okay. And so what caused that to end?
I went into the Marine Corps, and at that particular point in time in my life, it would have never worked anyway.
Okay. All right. So did your fiancé, girlfriend at the time have any clue that that was happening?
If she did, she didn't say anything at that time.
Okay. Okay, so then what was the next step then? What was the next thing that happened?
The next thing that happened after boot camp and after training was I settled into my first unit at Marine Corps Air Station in Beaufort, South Carolina, and that would remain the headquarters for me throughout my entire extent in the Marine Corps, but of course we deployed all over the world.
Okay, and what were some of the places you went to?
I saw Spain and Germany and all of West Asia, you know, including Japan, Bangladesh, Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia, Guam, the Philippines. So, nice little travel itinerary for me while I was in.
Oh, sure. Well, there was another place you went to, right?
My favorite place was Australia.
Right.
And I just wanted them to leave me in Australia when it was time for us to leave.
Yeah, but of course they said, nope, you can't do that.
Exactly.
And what did you like about it so much about being in Australia?
They were such an open and friendly people. They would literally close their malls early on the weekends so that the employees of the mall could go out and have a good time. And when questioned about it, they said, no, this is more or less an Australia-wide event, and we have lives too. So I was very, very impressed with the way they went about their day-to-day living.
Did you dabble at all in the gay life there at all? Did you?
Not really. I was always surrounded by Marines when we were in Australia. I had wanted to, but never really got the opportunity.
Were you in the big cities like Sydney or those kinds of
things? We were a few hours north of Sydney. We were in a decent-sized city in the Gold Coast.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Because I have a very good friend of mine that lives in the Blue Mountains area, and we actually met because I was trying to find different people from different countries to talk about growing up being gay, and I did an interview with him, and unfortunately we're going to have to re-record it, but that's going to be an upcoming show, and he and I now are really great friends because of that, and so it's just been a really great experience, and I really hope that one day soon that I'll be able to meet him and his partner. They've been together for quite some time, so that's really cool. So what was the next part of your life then during that time?
Well, of course, when I first got there, it was all the settling in and learning the ropes of being in the actual fleet Marine Corps, but my job was never a problem. I took to it like a duck takes to water. But my personal life, I knew that I wanted to explore my sexuality, and it was almost with a childlike excitement that I pursued it. And that was initially over the internet, meeting people, chatting with them, and finding out what there was to do in the area, and just trying to find what I felt would be the right person to meet.
Mm-hmm. And did you?
I did. He was a senior at the University of South Carolina, which was a couple of hours north of me, and we decided to meet each other, and we did, and there was a connection, and it formed a relationship that lasted about 6 months and ended totally due to my inability to accept who I was at that particular moment.
Right. So, So on the weekends then you'd see each other? Is that how it would happen?
It was on the weekends, maybe a couple of times during the weeks if I had long weekends or things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But pretty much every weekend for close to 6 months we saw each other.
Wow. And at the same time you still have a fiancé back home, right?
I do. I still have my girlfriend had moved into being my fiancé, and I was really, really wondering what I should do, where I should go with the relationship at that particular point in time, and he and I discussed coming out, you know, more to the circle of friends that were outside of my military realm and moving the relationship into a deeper phase, but I got spooked just based on my religious upbringing and everything I've been told.
Oh, sure.
And kind of ran away from the relationship completely at that point.
And it ended because you had to go on unemployment, right?
Well, it ended because I refused to return phone calls or emails for about a month and a half. But I used a deployment to Spain as an excuse for not communicating.
Wow. Okay. But obviously obviously had an effect on both of you. So what? I mean, I'm sure he probably did try to communicate. Is that correct?
Try to communicate. There was a little internet cafe right off of the base where I could check my emails once or twice a week, and I noticed that he was sending emails. I refused to acknowledge them, and I did not acknowledge him again until I had gotten back from Spain, and at that point in time, it was this very now hypocritical email about my beliefs and me just wanting to lead a quote-unquote normal life, and that effectively ended all communication for a little over a year and a half.
Wow. Did he respond back to that email?
He responded with a letter that more or less pulled my punk card, but I refused to acknowledge it. And we never communicated again until after I had gone through marriage and divorce and coming to terms with who I was and coming out. And that was when we got reacquainted, and we remain good friends to this day.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad that you guys were able to, get some reconciled. How's that? That was. I'm really glad that that was able to happen because, obviously, you're both young. You're both dealing with it. You both had the religious background. You both had, that always in your mind. And again, it's something that you still had difficulty accepting. And and I think every, gay and lesbian person goes through that. So I mean, it certainly is understandable, but unfortunately, it did happen, and it's one of the things that, life has taught you, and hopefully that as you move forward in life that you'll be able to, learn from that. And like one of the things that I constantly bring up on my show and during the interviews and on my own show is that I always talk about communication and how you have to be there, and maybe this, you just simply telling your story today, it's going to help maybe some younger person to realize that, hey, it's okay to be who I am, and it's okay to be honest with the person that you care about, and tell them how you feel. And so
most definitely.
So I really hope that that's what these people will to get out of this interview. And so hopefully, because that's one of the things that I put on my website for my show is that I hope people will learn from the mistakes that I made and be able to benefit from my successes. And that's, obviously by doing the interview today is going to hopefully be one of those that you can learn from it, so you don't have to go through the same thing that you and I did growing up. So I mean, it's really important, and I'm glad that you decided to share that. Now, going back, as you said that in that year and a half period that you didn't talk with him, that you said you had gotten married, And then it also ended. But what I was wondering is, what was that like, when you, that you decided to get married, and I guess you decided to move up the date. Is that right?
I decided to move up the date, to the spring of 2003. And I knew before I did it that it wasn't going to work. I just knew it in my heart somewhere deep down inside, but I still fought it and said, no, this is, I was convinced that there was something wrong with me. I was indulging in things that were quote-unquote sinful, which obviously is a complete farce.
Right.
But I went ahead and did it anyway. And, we were friends. We did care very much for each other. And so that made it possible to tolerate it and go through with the wedding and very short marriage.
Wow. So was it a big wedding?
It was a small wedding, actually.
Okay.
It would have been bigger, but we decided to have it in South Carolina where I was.
Okay. And So I was just wondering, what was it like the first 6 months? What was that like?
Well, about 2 weeks after we got married, I actually had to go away for a month to Arizona on a deployment. But we were actually had some time after that, probably about 3 more months or so before I went to Asia. And during that time, we looked like the perfect married couple. And we acted, even at home, like the perfect married couple. But inside, there was a growing, gnawing realization of who I was.
Right. Did you, but you didn't see anybody else during that time, right?
I did not see anybody else during that time.
Did you, were you online at all or anything?
I had a profile that I had set up in college that was stayed up there. During the course of the time that before Asia, I never looked at it, never paid any attention to it. Once I went to Asia and came out to a couple of really close friends who helped me to realize who I was and what I was doing was ludicrous, I at least turned the receive emails back on. I went that far.
Okay. Now, were the people that you confided in, were they gay as well?
They were not.
Well, they were not. Okay. But they'd felt that because you're, you know, you're married, but then you had feelings for men, that, you know, that you really should, you know, do something either one way or the other, right?
Well, they told me that, you know, I should be honest with myself. Right. And when I was fully honest with myself, I knew that I had to end the marriage to save both of us an incredible load of heartache through life.
Right.
And that is what, through a lot of tears and a lot of soul searching, decided and eventually did do when I got back from Asia.
And how long were you in Asia?
I was in Asia for 7 months.
Oh, wow. And she obviously was not able to go with you, right?
Oh, no. No. Yeah. This was simply a squadron deployment.
Right. And so obviously that didn't help matters either then, did it?
No, I guess it wouldn't help matters to just leave and go away, but I think it would have been even worse. Might would have even ended quicker. It's hard to tell. Everything happens for a reason, and me going to Asia was definitely so that I could realize who I was, not just complete a military mission.
Right. Now, did you, I mean, I'm sure this, I'm assuming the answer is no to this question, but I mean, did you do anything at all there? I mean, did you have any, I mean, did anybody in the military know at that time about you?
Very, very soon after we got there was when I confided in those individuals and told them, hey, I'm gay.
Oh, you know. So the friends that you confided in were fellow military people?
They were fellow Marines and sailors, yes.
Really? Okay. And what was their response?
They thought that I should be true to who I was. My being gay was not an issue at all with them, but being true to myself was an issue.
Yeah. Okay, good. I mean, I'm glad that it was a, you know, as far as being able to confide in them, that it was a, you know, positive experience. Did you have any that you were concerned about, or did you just really corresponded with people that you really knew you could trust?
The majority of time I just confided in people that I could trust, but when I got back and the divorce happened, we tried to keep it as private as possible, but there were people that found out one way or another, or just put two and two together based on their knowledge of me and us, and figured it out. But I never received from my military peers any negative reaction at all in regards to my being gay, except, of course, to the point that I was kicked out for being gay.
Right. Well, yeah. And we'll get into that in a little bit. So after you got done with Asia then, and you came back home, and then is that when you finally decided to have the heart-to-heart with the wife? And
probably when I first got back, of course, there's all the rigmarole of settling back into your home base.
Oh, sure.
So it took about a month, but during that time, of course, I had kept, as I always had growing up, I had kept a journal and of all my thoughts and of feelings and things of that nature. And I had decided to end it and not really given a very specific reason why already. Yet one day she got a hold of the journal when it was kind of left haphazardly around, and that evening was when we had our long discussion.
So what was that like?
One of those sealed tape conversations, almost. There was a fair bit of hurt and anger coming from her side of it, which is totally understandable. She had asked before if I had had those kind of feelings for other men, and I said no, but now she knew that that was true, it was accurate, and I was going to end the marriage over it, and I was not going to seek counseling or anything like that because I knew who I was.
Right. So you're saying that she suspected even before?
She suspected from before just based off of bad stereotypes, plays that I would want to see or movies that I would want to watch, a lot of the independent, not risque, but TLA video or things of that nature that alluded to a gay persona. She used those stereotypes to try and put two and two together, and, well, she was accurate.
Wow. So, well, I'm just curious, was there a certain kind of movie, or was it a certain shows, or anything in, that stood out that really...
The only thing that everybody looks at, or a lot of my friends look at and go, well, duh, she couldn't figure it out from that, but maybe that's just playing into a stereotype, is when I took her and a friend of mine to go see Rent in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And that's a very popular play. I mean, it's not just the gay people went to see this, but I'm just wondering, what made that one stand out so much?
I'm not sure. I think it's because, you know, a lot of the, I guess, most people think that most of the Rent heads and people of that nature that are just in love with the play are gay. And so having seen that, seeing the theme in Rent that plays into the gay world, most people that were raised in the area that I was raised in will have nothing to do with anything that remotely touches the subject of homosexuality. So if you do, then obviously you must be gay.
Okay. Wow, so that's pretty amazing, because you know they, obviously they do have a central part of the story is a gay couple and how they met and you know what they had to endure. So I was just wondering, you know, knowing that you were in that kind of relationship and knowing that you did have feelings for guys, and what was it like when you saw that play for you as a basically a gay man?
Well, I had listened to the soundtrack previously.
Oh, you did,
but. To actually see it live and in person and touching on the subject that it touched on, I mean, Rent's just awesome as it is. But for me, it was more or less a feeling like it seems to be just a small treat at that time that I could treat myself to, that meant something to me that she would not even come close to understanding at that time.
Right. Have you seen the movie?
I have seen the movie a couple of times.
So you must like it.
I'm a modern Rent head.
Okay. Well, I saw Rent in Chicago, and I actually met two people on the subway that were Rent heads. And the funny thing is, they're both wearing their pajamas. They had pillows because they had stayed overnight. Because I don't know if you know this, but if you actually are like the first 20 people that when they open the doors for tickets that for that next day that you can get in for $20 and you get a front row seat. And I guess it's always been something that they had done. So these two girls were, and there's on the way to where my ex and I were going, they're practically singing the whole entire play. So it was kind of funny. But it was great. I saw the movie. In fact, I just bought the DVD for it, and it's coming to, South Bend. They're going to be doing a production of it, so I'm going to go see it again. And they're also going to be doing it in Chicago, so I'm debating on whether to see that too. So I guess I'm kind of a Renhead too, but it's a really good play, and I really enjoy it as well. So that's cool. So what were there any other outlets like that as far as movies or music?
There were a couple of books. The Year of Ice by Brian Malloy, Clay's Way by Blair, something with a name, can't remember his last name, saved my life. But just little books that were gay-themed books, more or less coming-of-age stories. I was a fan of independent films like L.I.E. and Beautiful Thing. So, I mean, if Beautiful Thing doesn't give it away, what does?
Yeah, I was going to say, ding, 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 hello. Rainbow flag, rainbow flag. Okay, so then you decided to, after you had that heart-to-heart with her, then you decided, okay, this is it, we're going to have to get the divorce.
Correct.
Okay, so how did she react during that time, during the time of the divorce?
She had moved back to Mississippi by that time, and I was still in South Carolina. There was a lot of, not really harsh words, but it was a very cold conversation. It was more or less just cut and dry, getting everything out of the way and handling business.
Okay.
There was a very, very bit amount of hurt, and of course I lived in the community where we were, you know, where we had lived still, and two of the people that we went to church with and their family lived right next door. So, a little bit of hostility, but nothing that affected anything immediately.
I mean, did you tell everybody, oh, I'm getting divorced because my husband's gay? I mean,
not at all. We kept it a private matter.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say, you know, that would have been really bad if that would have. But then, I mean, I'm glad that she was able to, you know, help keep it private as well. Because, I mean, that, you know, wouldn't be doing her any favors. But then it definitely wouldn't be doing you any favors to let that out of the bag. So I'm glad, you know, that didn't happen. Because, you know, obviously when you're in that kind of relationship and it ends and it gets ugly, then it can get really ugly. And because believe me, I've heard some unbelievable stories on that. But what I'd like to do, because we're at the 30-minute mark, so I'm going to go ahead and stop this part one. But I would like to thank you, Tim, so far for your participation. And we'll continue with part two in just a second. And what I'd like to do is tell the listeners that if you'd like to, you can go to my website at rambleredhead.blogspot.com. And I would appreciate any comments that you have about this interview or any of the other interviews that I've done. And you also can email me at rambleredhead@gmail.com. And I really look forward to hearing your comments. And if you'd like to, say anything to Tim, please send the emails to me and I will forward them to him. And so we'll go and end this first part and we'll be back with part two. Thank you. Okay, how'd you think that one went?
I think that one went.